Shabbat Shalom. So it's sermon time. This is a pretty grown-up sermon. So content warning, if you want to hang out in the lobby, feel free, go ahead. And if you want to hang out here, that's fine too. When I was a teenager, somebody trapped me in a stairwell. When I was in my 20s, a different person cornered me in an elevator. In my 30s, I've received verbal threats and unwanted physical encounters. So yes, of course, hashtag me too. I'd be surprised if there was anyone here who couldn't think of at least one time when you or a loved one were targets of unwanted sexual advances. That time you were having fun at college and things got out of hand. That time your teacher said something surprising to you. That time you were running in the park and you had to run away a little faster. If you don't know what I'm talking about, the hashtag MeToo has gone viral. It began as a response to the alleged predatory actions by Hollywood executive Harvey Weinstein. He's been accused of abusing his authority to systematically harass, assault, and even rape generations of women. The idea of the hashtag was that maybe if enough people also tweeted and shared MeToo, it might give a sense of the magnitude of the problem. Well, it worked. It's turned into a platform for a profound and pivotal conversation about violence and sexism. As a female and a somewhat public female, this kind of misconduct doesn't surprise me at all. Like I said, I've encountered many things that could fall under the Me Too heading. But even I was shocked and heartbroken to see the overwhelming volume of responses. Older women, younger women, outgoing women, shy women, feminine women, masculine women, powerful women, not so powerful women. It seems as if nearly all the women between heaven and earth have been victims of sexual misconduct, harassment, or worse, violence. All of a sudden, I was learning new information about women I've known for years. Did this happen to you too? Friends, colleagues, and family members shared horrible, troubling stories. And something that kind of broke my heart was that sometimes these encounters occurred in Jewish settings. They happened in Jewish summer camps, at Jewish schools, and yes, even at synagogues. Hashtag unacceptable. Tonight, I'm dedicating my words to all of the Me Toos out there and all of the good women and men who fight against sexism. So part one, the context and the culture in our country currently. In my view, women live in a court of public humiliation. Our public discourse is sort of a theater of embarrassment and degradation of women. Think about the Anita Hill Clarence Thomas hearings. Think about the Clinton impeachment hearings, or about the Bill Cosby trial, or about the Access Hollywood tape. In each case, these men were accused of abusing women verbally, physically, or both. Spoiler alert, Clarence Thomas is a Supreme Court justice. Bill Clinton is an admired past president. Bill Cosby is a millionaire comedian walking freely in the world, and Donald Trump is no less than the leader of the free world. Has justice been served? None of these men were held accountable for their apparent moral and legal violations. No justice. When you see images of yourself silenced, shamed, and demeaned over and over again, it's humiliating for women. It should be humiliating for everybody. That humiliation then reinforces the notion that women should not come forward. The next step, women, of course, don't come forward because there's no justice in coming forward. Finally, the underreporting combined with injustice enables more predators to prey freely and without consequence. Ultimately, public degradation of women propels the privatization of sexism. Public injustice leads to private humiliation, which leads to fewer reported crimes, which leads to more criminal acts. We watch it over and over again. Humiliating. Even the language we use to talk about this stuff humiliates women. There's a pervasive preponderance of the passive voice. The girl got pregnant. Why do we say she got pregnant when we could just as easily say he impregnated her? We talk about how many women were assaulted last year, but I've never seen a statistic on the news or in the Times about how many men assaulted women last year. We say she was assaulted. She was harassed. She was raped. Passive voice suggests that no one is responsible at best. At worst, the only person named in any of those sentences is the woman. Maybe she was responsible. I propose we get rid of passive voice. Name the perpetrator. Name the actor. He assaulted a young woman. He harassed a colleague. That might lessen the Me Toos out there just a little bit. I see women humiliated everywhere, even small things. I'm sick of reading mainstream articles extolling Hugh Hefner for pioneering the sexual revolution. This man gave women curfews, allowances, and generous funding for plastic surgery. He made a fortune for himself by publicly commodifying women's bodies for private consumption. But he often gets a public pass. Humiliating. I'm sick of our government campaigning to make abortion and birth control as difficult to obtain as humanly possible. I read that our Congress is about 80% male, 80% white, and 92% Christian. Those are the people that should be making decisions about our organs. I'm tired of our government stripping women of personal agency over our own health. It's infuriating. It's humiliating. It's a court of public humiliation, and I, for one, am tired of being the court jester. It's this humiliation that leads to private shame, which in turn permits sexism. I honor and respect all of the women and men who voice up in public to condemn this public shaming of women. It must end. That is the context of our current country. Part two, the Jewish context. We can do better. Liberal Judaism needs to have an aggressive, public, unified anti-sexism strategy. Right now, we don't. We aren't even close to aggressive enough to begin to cancel out that broader culture of misogyny. Think about it this way. Since childhood, it's been beaten into my Jewish consciousness that every time we see anti-Semitism, we must address it. We must fight it. Standing up to hatred against Jews is part of being Jewish. Someone spray paints a swastika on a synagogue and the Jews of Manhattan go running. There's a press conference, a vigil, a series of published articles condemning the act. Even sometimes when something only marginally anti-Jewish happens, we still flock to oppose it. It's because anti-Semitism inspires collective moral outrage and a public communal response. what if we applied that same vitriol to fighting against sexism? Interestingly, we don't. We basically feel good about ourselves. We're liberal, we're inclusive, we're egalitarian. We don't have a mechitza, we do have female rabbis. We don't encourage women to remain mostly in the private sphere. We do have female lay leaders. We do have a lot to be proud about. We're on the right side of this issue, but we can do a lot better. And that's actually a pretty uncomfortable thing to say, because I think most people assume that we are doing well enough. But I challenge that. Let me expand. Female Jewish professionals make only a percentage of our male counterparts. Why is that? The editorial pages of even Jewish publications are often overwhelmingly male, especially when it comes to talking about Israel. Why is that? An actual organized effort had to be made to convince Jewish liberal institutions to stop hosting panel discussions with only men on the panels. We call them manels. Why is that? The paid head of nearly every major liberal Jewish institution in the country is a man. By the way, often a brilliant, menschy, moral man. I'm thinking of the Union of Reform Judaism, the Central Conference of American Rabbis, the Hebrew Union College, the Religious Action Center, the World Union for Progressive Judaism, and almost all the large Reform synagogues throughout the country, all spearheaded by a single sex. Why is that? A coincidence? Maybe? I don't think it's because of a shortage of brilliant, menschy, moral women out there. Or maybe it's not really a problem because somehow the natural flow of time and evolution will correct it with little intentional effort on our part, right? Should we apply that same wait-and-see strategy to anti-Semitism just because conditions have improved from how they were in the past? I think not. The point is, I don't think we're as morally cleansed of sexism as we tell ourselves we are. I know, because as I said, many of the Me Toos from Jewish women happened in Jewish settings, and I cannot think of a single incident where the aggressor was brought to justice. What would it be like if liberal Jewish spaces were the places where women knew without a doubt they could come forward without being shamed? What if girls felt confident that a Jewish summer camp would never look the other way? What if women were in more positions of authority and decision-making? What would it look like? I'm afraid right now that's not always the case. Let's be honest. If we take our tradition seriously, we must recognize that we have a long history of sexism within us. Judaism. Oh, Judaism. I love you. I really do. I always have. I wake up in the morning because of you. My intellect and my spirit are enriched because of you. But you might also say that Judaism invented patriarchy. If you don't agree with that, maybe you might agree that in the very least, we codified it. Do you know that the entire Talmud, the whole thing, does not feature one single original description of a woman's life? Not one. In the entire Talmud, which is the cornerstone of our tradition, there are no women's voices. We've been robbed of centuries of insight, talent, wisdom, and culture from half of us. But worst of all, we stole those things from ourselves. This wasn't some edict passed down from the Roman emperor. It was our choice to exclude an entire gender. To me, that's troubling, and that's telling. Don't get me wrong, there are tractates about women's bodies, our strangeness, our ability to contaminate others, the need to regulate and control and cleanse our bodies. We take all of these things for granted. We shrug them off. We were like that, but now we're not, we tell ourselves. Now we're enlightened. We are progressive. All true. We have moved far beyond that, but not as far as we think. And I know, because not all Jewish spaces are safe spaces. Not enough pressure is applied to institutions to change. Me Too situations still happen under the veil of Judaism. We must fight sexism within liberal Judaism first. Only after that can we win the broader fight for women's rights. So I say no. I say no more. I say no more sexism, whether it be a microaggression or an outright criminal act. Jews, specifically us, liberal Jews, have to be the ones to lead the way, and we have to be tougher, much tougher, on ourselves and our own expectations of institutionalized Judaism. One more thing. I don't want to be reductive. Sexism is a murky, personal, complicated topic. Of course, liberal minds differ all the time, especially about sexism. You're mad that Melania Trump wore high heels to visit disaster victims. I'm mad that high heels were invented, so I am kind of mad about it, so that women could teeter around like tiny trophies ready to topple over at any minute. You're mad that cheerleaders exist, that they strut around half naked in front of thousands of ogling and drunk men. I'm mad that cheerleaders are woefully underpaid. I am. You're mad that there is no women's literature section. But I'm mad that there is a section segregating and othering authors simply based on their gender. So it's not easy. With our history of religiously sanctioned sexism, the context of our cultural misogyny, and our differing opinions, nonetheless, we can do better. Hashtag MeToo is a platform. It's a conversation starter. I said my piece tonight. Well, at least I said some of what I think tonight. How will you say your piece? What will your platform be to reduce sexism? Can we acknowledge that we've allowed ourselves to become a little too complacent? Can we agree that next time when someone broaches a conversation about sexism with you, you're going to stir it up, not beat it down? Can we conclude that we will no longer placate? We will agitate so that everyone knows that sexism has no home here. Can we work hard so that in 10 years from now, the reality changes from hashtag MeToo to hashtag we fought so that it wouldn't happen to you? Ken Yehi Ratzon, may it be God's will. Shabbat Shalom. We turn to the Baruch Hu, page 146, and we rise.